armchair.
There's something, I'll say there's something kind of about a kid that's never played baseball.
We have been hoodwinked, bamboozled, and flat out deceived.
Why did you get so drunk?
You got drunk. I'm just really exhausted.
What's in that cup?
Rum and Cokes.
Do you have any idea how important
you
this is?
Have
trying
any
to
stay
idea?
The pump
pump. Really, this
you
is what
have
you're doing?
Any
this
idea?
Is what you're doing?
Chief, what do you want to do tonight?
The same thing we do every night. Try to take over the world.
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Armchair.
YouTube Live.
Radio Station.
The radio station you can call your own. What listeners like about our station?
I like everything.
It's always on my radio.
We never stop the music, except for now, when I talk.
You're listening to Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. We're here live weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern, WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key, and simulcasting on youtube.com/@Braves Country, your first choice for Southern sports. Good afternoon. I'm Mac Mee. I don't know much, but I know one thing. Actually, I don't. What the hell did Red Jets going to do? Gosh darn it! They ruined my Super Bowl pick!
Community Access Channel.
He's the armchair quarterback. He's full of beer and he's full of snacks. The All-American Man. With a cool one
in his head. Yeah, howdy, hi, and how the hell are you? So one of the things that jumps off at me immediately with this whole thing with Aaron Rodgers, and we're going to get more into it as we go along in the show. Do you realize how many primetime games they had the Jets and Aaron Rodgers ready to roll with? What the hell do they do with that? They're already looking for flex options. Anyways, let's go ahead and we're going to talk a lot of on Tuesdays going forward. We have changed our platform a little bit on Tuesdays because of fantasy football, because of how important it is to know what to do Tuesday night as you go to make pickups on Wednesday morning. We are going to be doing the fantasy football on Tuesday after we do Braves Country heading into Joey coming up at 4. So with no further ado, let's dive into Braves Country because we got a little time to do a lot.
You're in Braves Country.
All right. You know, nothing's more distracting when you look up at one of the monitors, because I always have a couple of monitors going to make sure I know what's going on in the world of sports. And I look up, and I about have a damn seizure because one of my monitors, it was one of the ESPN channels. The video was literally just shaking left and right. I was like, what the hell, man? You talk about throwing you off. And, man, it's doing it again. I don't know what's going on here. I don't know if that guy's trying a new dance or whatever. But anyways, we'll talk about some of the nonsense that they have been saying is an option for the Jets. It's not, but we'll talk about it. Okay. So let's go ahead and get into Braves Country and the Atlanta Braves news. Big news today. If you missed it, you might have missed it. Kind of slid under the radar. We have been asked about this I don't know how many times. And mum has been the damn word, I mean, forever. They won't even give you any idea. It's gotten to the point where they must have been strong-armed the spineless Braves media because they quit asking the question. But we got news today. Jesse Chavez begins a rehabilitation assignment tonight with the AAA Gwinnett, which means he should be back sometime next week, best case scenario. They may stretch him out for a little bit and have him come back the following week, but within the next few weeks, which honestly plays in perfectly. And I always thought they were trying to save his arm. But then it got to the point when you're sitting there going, all right, there's a difference between saving his arm and flat out going, I don't know if he's pitching again this year. But evidently they've been saving his arm. And remember, he had the comeback off the mound, I mean, months ago. And they, at the time, do you remember at the time they said that, well, he probably could have avoided the IL, but we didn't want to go that long without an extra relief pitcher, so we went ahead and put him on. This is right before the All-Star break, shortly before the All-Star break. And then we started playing it out in our head, going, well, they're probably going to wait till after the All-Star break to bring him back. And then you're looking, all right, well, maybe early August, maybe they're taking him time. And then I hear early August that he's walking around the clubhouse with a damn cane. And I'm like, wait a minute, why is nobody in the Braves media growing a spine and saying, yo, what's going on? Anyways, they finally release the information. Jesse Chavez, we know what we deal with when you talk about the Braves media. I'm sorry, but there's one guy in that entire Braves media that I respect the cojones, and even he's not very aggressive. The rest of them are just basically road bumps, and it really is. It's irritating as a fan when you watch this. Even some of their, and these aren't even Braves-sponsored channels, but I'm talking about even some of the junk that you get from the YouTube and Facebook and whatnot, they're all just falling in line because they're all trying to suck up because they hope one day to be sitting there getting spoon-fed. I can't do that. I'm, as a fan, want to know what the hell's going on. And things like when Snicker makes bad decisions, we want someone to go, yo, what the hell, man? Instead, well, you know, they're just, look at them. They got the best record in baseball. That's not what we want. It's not what fans want. It must be nice being a fan of a team in the other markets where you've got so many sports writers that they come after you, right? But in the Atlanta sports market, especially with the Braves, and just in general, and this is like this in a lot of the smaller southern towns. I mean, I've seen it in Nashville. I've seen it in Jacksonville. They're not comfortable with standing their ground because they're afraid they're going to get boxed out. That's what it really comes down to. Whereas in your larger markets, they'll come after you because they're looking at us. Look, there's so many outlets giving you the information about the Mets, the Jets, the Yankees, the Giants, you name it, the Rangers, the Islanders, that they have to compete to be able to bring you different coverage. But in the smaller markets, they're okay with just kind of status quo. But the Braves will get Jesse Chavez back shortly, it looks like. Kyle Wright, you hit that real quick. Kyle Wright, I mentioned it when it first started, and it unfolded the way we kind of thought it might. He needed at least one more start down on the farm. And it was funny because after he gives the start, then one of the writers, they said it tongue-in-cheek, but they didn't really come after the Braves, but they said after getting blown up, essentially, maybe he needed more work down in Gwinnett. Of course he did. He was terrible down in Gwinnett. When you're out 4 months, you're not just looking to build up innings and build up stamina. You are looking for someone to go out there and pitch competitive games. And if you're going to do this with Kyle Wright, why didn't you set it up where he went up against the Pirates and give win-ins against Philadelphia? At least you give yourself a fighting chance. Anyways, the Braves do split the doubleheader, so you don't hate what happened yesterday, but it was irritating because my biggest concern with Kyle Wright is the guy is still fragile mentally. Remember, it was just a couple years ago that we didn't know if Kyle Wright would ever be an Atlanta Brave ever again. And then he had the big showing in 2021 in the playoffs. Out of nowhere, they pull him up. He looked great, but no one still believed in him going into 22. Then he had the phenomenal 22. Then he comes out in 23, looks terrible. Then he goes on the IL after a month. And you're just wondering, you know, are you gonna cause issues? Are you gonna cause issues if you send him out there and he doesn't have success? Now, hopefully his next time out, I would hope it would be Sunday. For the love of God, don't make it against the Phillies again. I mean, you're not doing him any service if you do that. I would like to see him pitch again Sunday or Saturday, either one, against the Marlins. because, first of all, he gets a different opponent. Second of all, the Marlins offense is not the Phillies offense. But I don't want him to, I don't want his first two starts to be back-to-back against Philadelphia. Back-to-back against anybody, but much less one of the top five, top eight offenses in baseball. They're not quite as dynamic as they were last year, but they're still pretty darn good. Tonight, we got Max Fried on the hill. We've got Wheeler on the hill. As far as that game is concerned, 6:40 first pitch, and we'll go through all the lineups and whatnot. It looks like the Phillies, by the way, they're going with Schwarber at DH tonight, and they're not going with him out in left field. They were fortunate. He actually made a couple of plays, but he's terrible defensively. He made a couple of plays, and then he made one play that you're looking like, you're seeing him out there, and you're like, my God, dude, I've played restaurant league slow pitch softball with guys more athletic than this guy. But with the lefty on the mound, Max Fried, they're going with Pache out in left field. So if you look at it realistically, they've got a pretty darn good defensive outfield out there tonight. They're doing that because Wheeler normally shuts the Braves down. He normally pitches them very, very tough. And so with that being said, you can't really go out here and expect a high-scoring game. So Philadelphia is looking at it logically saying, look, we need to have our best offensive team out there right now. Now, they didn't put Stott in there because he's the lefty and he would struggle against Max Fried, but they did put Sosa at second base. That could be the one hole. But Sosa's at second base because he's 2-for-7 lifetime against Fried. As far as guys who have banged the ball hard against Max Fried, here are some guys to keep an eye out. And there, it's a list. Trey Turner, 13 of 32 with a home run, 2 RBIs, 4.06 average. Alec Bohm, 5 of 18, not great, not terrible, about solid, no home runs, 3 RBIs, 5 strikeouts. Bryce Harper, 9 for 29, a 3.10 average, but 2 home runs. JT Realmuto, 3.42 average against some 3 home runs, 9 RBI. And here's the one. Good night, Irene. Nick Castellanos, 6.36 average against him. Now, he doesn't have any home runs, so it appears that most of his hits that he's gotten, and I looked at his OPS, it looks like a lot of them are singles, but still, it's going to be tough sledding. And as far as the Braves going up against Zach Wheeler, he has been dominant against the Braves. He has pitched really well, and it's really strange. Even, and of course, maybe it's got something to do with the fact that the man's from Smyrna, Georgia. I don't know. But he can go out and have bad outings, and he's actually pitched pretty well recently, but he can go out and have bad outings and still go out there and mow down the Braves. It really is dumbfounding. He did it back in late May, where he had really been scuffling to start the year. Then he goes out in Atlanta and fires 8 scoreless innings, 12 strikeouts. I think a lot of y'all would remember that one. It was a Saturday afternoon game. We did the game, but I think you would remember the fact that we were expecting to be able to get to him finally, and he just absolutely dominated that game. I mean, absolutely dominated the game. They ended up winning the game 2-1. It was a game where Charlie Morton pitched really well in his own right. Charlie Morton went 5 1/3 and only gave up 2 runs, but those 2 runs were enough. And, in fact, the only run we scored off of Zach Wheeler was a home run by Sean Murphy off of Kimbrel. In the bottom of the 9th inning, if you remember that, we were down 2-0. He came up in a home run, but Kimbrel ended up closing the door. So it's going to be a tough one tonight. This is the one that I've been worried about the most in the series, along with, obviously, when you the second part of a doubleheader and you got a guy pitching 4 months. But Zach Wheeler tonight, the game itself, what are the odds in the game itself? Well, the Braves are -125, I think that's a little, I would not touch that. But the Braves are -125 and the over-under is 8.5. I actually think the over-under is pretty high. I think you're going to get a game. Now, you know I'll never pick the Braves to lose. I think you're going to get a very low-scoring game. Zach Wheeler is beyond dominant. Their bullpen, the back of their bullpen, pretty much intact. They had to use Kimbrel last night, but there's no reason why he can't go back-to-back nights. So give me the Braves to win, but I mean a tight one. And I mean a tight one. Give me the Braves to win this one. We'll say 3-2. And hopefully, Matt Olson, how about that? 50 home runs. How about that? He was 49 and 50 last night. Moment I put up the poll, do we clinch the division or do we get to 50 home runs first? He goes out there and slams two out of the building. So Matt Olson is going to get somewhere between 55 and 60 this year. And that's just a phenomenal. He's going to crush the all-time Braves records. And somehow he's not in the conversation for MVP. I beg to differ. I think the guy's been incredibly valuable. But Acuna's having a special year with the stolen bases, and people are really focusing on that. I really think it's a little disingenuous to focus on the stolen base numbers when we know that they changed how easy it is to get stolen bases compared to past years. But usually, sports writers that vote, they're usually a few years behind the actual analytics of it all and the actual breaking it down. But that's okay. As long as one of the Braves get the MVP trophy, I'm for it. But now, to me, I mean, Matt Olson going out there and with the injury to Mookie Betts, and he's going to be out of the lineup, his stats are going to go by the wayside. Acuna's a slam dunk, and I'm starting to look at Olson as a very real possibility to finish second in the MVP voting. Okay, let's take a really quick break. Taking the Braves pick to click with the righty on the mound. You know what? Go ahead and give me Matt Olson one more time. I'm not loving anybody to click against Wheeler, but Braves win it 3-2. We'll be back in a flash.
How do three men in their 30s not have $800 between them?
The economy is in shambles.
The NASDAQ
marketplace right now?
Dow Jones.
Stop talking, fine.
Armchair.
You're listening to the Armchair Quarterback Sports Radio, number one sports station.
Good afternoon, and this is your Armchair Quarterbacks Sports Flash. MRI confirmed New York Jets quarterback Aaron Rodgers has torn his Achilles tendon in Monday night's win over the Buffalo Bills. Coach Rob Saleh painted a grim picture after the game, saying they suspected a significant injury, quote, it's not good. Rodgers, 39 years old, former four-time MVP, went down on the Jets' fourth snap of the game when he tried to spin out of the pocket off of defensive end Leonard Floyd. The Jets will move forward with Zach Wilson as their starter, Saleh said, quote, yeah, he'll be the guy. They also have journeyman Tim Boyle on the practice squad. Rodgers' injury also will impact the 2024 draft. The second round pick that goes to the Green Bay Packers for Rodgers' trade would become a first round pick if Rodgers had played 65% of the snaps this season. Full slate of games of Major League Baseball on Tuesday. Got some makeup games with the Red Sox and Yankees being rained out yesterday. We'll keep you up to date with all of that, along with Royals and White Sox playing their game at 4:40. Big one tonight, 6:40 Eastern, Braves-Phillies. Max Fried versus Zach Wheeler. Braves and Phillies split the doubleheader of the first two games of this series. Game three is Max Fried. Game four tomorrow night is Spencer Strider. We'll have pitch-by-pitch, play-by-play of your Atlanta Braves right here on Braves Country HD. YouTube.com/@Braves Country. Subscribe and like today. Other games of interest around Major League Baseball. Orioles host the Cardinals. Wainwright versus Means. John Means making his long-awaited debut since Tommy John a year and a half ago. Reds and Tigers, 6:40. Williamson on the bump for Cincinnati. Rangers are at the Blue Jays. Max Scherzer versus Ryu. And the Diamondbacks are at the Mets. Nelson for the Snakes. While the Yankees and Red Sox, second part of their doubleheader tonight. 7:10, Rodon versus Crawford. Brewers host the Marlins at 7:40. Rays are at the Twins, 7:40 as well. The Astros host the A's, 8:10. Verlander on the hill. Cubs are at the Rockies tonight with Assad versus Flexen. The Mariners host the Angels, Woo versus Sandoval. Giants host the Guardians 9:45. Manaea versus Quantrill, and the Dodgers will host the Padres 10:10 first pitch. And that's your Armchair Quarterback Sports Flash. Stay tuned for Braves Country right here on WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Newnan, Georgia, simulcasting on YouTube.com/Braves Country.
It's the best in sports and entertainment. And get locked in and locked down with Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. with your host, me, Ryan O'Neill, each and every morning right here with the best in sports and entertainment, all the way from professional sports to college sports to River Dragons hockey and everything in between, including some of the very best local and national guests. It's the Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m., Monday through Friday, right here on 99.1 FM WQEE.
Hey sports fans, it's Rod Peterson here, host of The Rod Peterson Show, inviting you to join us daily for 2 hours of Atlanta's funnest sports talk right here on WQEE. I say fun because it is. You've never heard a show like it because we make the listeners a part of the show every day between noon and 2 p.m. Eastern. You'll hear plenty of the best sports talk, including the latest on the Falcons, the Braves, and more. And who knows, you might even hear you. That's The Rod Peterson Show, daily at noon, right here on WQEE 99.1 FM.
Oh, let's not go to the World Series without Stillwell's toys!
Can you send my baseball?
Sure. There.
Wow. Avoid the clap, Jimmy Dugan. Wow.
That's good advice.
Welcome back! Hour number two. Dropping that deuce, as always, is Joey. Joey, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. Yeah, it was a fun weekend, you know, sports-wise, obviously.
We got everybody's blood boiling on Saturday morning for just the show.
How'd you How'd the pool day end up afterwards? You have a little...
I did all right. You would not believe this. So I don't think I got on there that night. I think it was more the next morning looking at just... I always like to see fans' reaction. I wish they had a way to go into Twitter not logged in so that you can't react. You can just read it and get pissed off, right, and close it. But anyways... You go in there and you see these idiot fans who are overreacting to a couple of bad plays in a 66-13 win. I'm like, what are we doing, man? What are we doing? Does anyone remember how last year began? Three losses to like Wake Forest and NC State and whatnot. And then like, what the hell are we doing? Anyway. Oh, by the way, I don't think I've updated this. Yankees lead the Red Sox 3-2. Top of nine, game one. Obviously, the Yankees are average, but the Red Sox, man, you got to get it together, son. I said this all along. If they don't get in a winning streak in the next week or so, it's over.
Yep.
How the Cubs doing?
You know, last night we did lose our closer, Al Zaloy, to the IL, so that was not what we wanted here. Because
seriously?
Our bullpen – yeah, and our bullpen – it's not, I mean, it's not terrible, but it's not good. It's very mediocre. So that makes a mediocre pen slightly below average now. And that's a little concerning. Last night, we were up 3-1, and then the Rockies came back off of our relief pitcher. And then Michael Fulmer was in late to close the game. And it was a rocky road, but we got to the victory. So we're playing the Rockies in Colorado, which is the good news because we know how they've just been struggling so badly. But we take a bite to the bullpen. So even though the Cubs are looking okay right now, there's no breathing room. I mean, you're only two games up on Arizona for the last wild card, and they're only 3.5 up, thank you, Miami, for losing on San Fran and Miami. So there's a lot of teams lurking with Cincinnati still alive. Hopefully the Cubs can stay healthy and finish this month strong.
Now, we'll be able to help you out this weekend because we're heading to Miami. So.
Thank you. Anything will help.
Big picture, Al Zaloy, how bad? How long?
Well, that's the thing. So he's been not pitching for a few days now because he was complaining a little bit of last week about pain. So right now that They only put him on, I believe, as I look into him right here, they put him on the 10-day IL, which could be retroactive. So I'm hoping for it not to be too long, but I can confirm in a minute what the exact deal is there. Because as we all know, you lose your closer, you're not going to look too good in the long run.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, if you're looking at him long term, I mean, okay, so what I'm looking at big picture, right, is the fact that if you don't have him for the first series of the playoffs, who the hell's closing the games?
And right now, our best reliever's been Merriweather. Like I said yesterday, we used Fulmer, but he who just came back from injury, by the way. But Alzolay's battling a right forearm strain, and it went like I was saying, it did go retroactive to last Sunday. They're hopeful. It's not too long, but it's a little unclear right now. So you're going to see guys like Julian Merriweather, Mark Leiter Jr., and Michael Fulmer. It's just going to be a swanton of people here.
I guess come playoff time, you can grab someone out of the rotation, try to help fill the void. But, man, that's rough.
Well, Drew Smyly filled the void yesterday, and that guy stinks. So
that's not filling a void. That's causing a void.
Exactly.
Good night, Irene. He was done when we got rid of him, and that feels like a century ago. Look, Drew Smyly is a great middle inning eater, right? If you just need someone to eat some innings, but you would hope he's not on the playoff roster.
No, I mean, absolutely. If anything, Stroman, his return is so questionable. So right now, luckily too, a couple of starters like Assad and actually Wills, who, I mean, they just been starters for this season, young guys here, and they've been coming through pretty dang clutch.
Assad's pitching tonight, isn't he? Isn't he starting?
Yeah, so we have Javier Assad tonight, and last night we had our other young guy go who just got called up. He has like four starts, and he's been on fire. So our young guys have been contributing, but at the end of the day, we're not going to win in the playoffs if you only have Steele and Hendricks. Because Taillon has been very shaky this year. Assad is too young to count on, in my opinion.
What's the deal with Stroman? I haven't heard anything about Stroman in a while. What's the deal with him?
That's the thing. It's been mum's the word. They're saying he's throwing off a mound. As of 1 minute ago, actually. No, that was 1 month ago, not 1 minute ago. But no update. That's what I mean. So he's throwing off a mound, just trying to get through the pain from his rib. Cartilage fracture that they diagnosed about 4 weeks ago now. So to me,
listen to this one. I found what's Cubby's crib. Does that have any? Is that worth a damn, or is that?
Like it could be, but I have nothing on him.
Is Cubby's crib legitimate, or is that something that Tones tinkers with in the bathroom in the mornings?
Maybe with a bottle of milk. Yeah, I'm not sure on Cubby Crib.
So, according to them, if all goes well, Marcus Stroman, now this was yesterday, Marcus Stroman could be added to the Cubs bullpen later this week. That would be an interesting closer. If they feel like he can't be a starter for the rest of the year, is he willing to do it too? Because he's going to be a free agent.
Yeah, and that apparently that source isn't too bad, because I'll confirm as of 6 hours ago, another source was saying the same thing that he threw batting practice over the past couple of days, but definitely bullpen's been talked about and considered. So interesting to see for sure. I would not mind that. I'd rather have Stroman somewhere in our rotation or bullpen rather than sit on the sidelines.
Yeah, I'm seeing Bleacher Nation and Sports Illustrated also. I don't like the fact that something called Sports Mockery reported it. They were the first ones to report it, Sports Mockery. So is this a
– Yeah, they are a mockery.
That's not good. But anyways, all right. Ready to shift gears into some football?
Let's do it.
All right, so here we go.
Not over yet, Ben!
I got an armchair top 10 updated. We didn't do it yesterday because of the doubleheader. Armchair top 10. Are you ready for
this?
Let's go. Number 10.
Let's see what you got.
Number 10, I put Utah. Put the Utes at number 10. I think Utah, look, and I don't go off of who would beat who. I'm going off of what have you done this year to impress us, right? Because last week we had Alabama in there and they ain't impressed anybody. So that's what that's to me, that's what this is about. This is about what do you have, what have you done this year? That's essentially what I'm looking at. All right. Number 9, the Tennessee Volunteers. Now they have a chance to impress us this week.
Yes, but they do.
To me, I've got to see it on the field. They haven't really played anybody yet, so let's just, you know, chill down with, you know, thinking that they should be in the top 5. Number 8. I've got the Penn State Nittany Lions. I know they haven't been that impressive, but I also don't think they've been unimpressive. I think they've been about what we think they are. So I'm putting them at number 8. I think they'll have plenty of time to impress down the road. They haven't gotten to the meat of their schedule. But as of right now, that's where I have them at. They're number 7 in the power poll. See, now this is where I mean, in the AP poll, which is the only one that I really pay attention to. All that other crap, what is this, SP Plus poll, whatever the hell that is on ESPN, I don't pay attention to that crap. I don't pay attention to the coaches poll. I know all polls are mundane and kind of stupid to begin with, but, including ours, but the only one I'll ever reference is the AP poll because it's been around longer and I still think it's somewhat legitimate, right?
That's what I go off of.
I'm not putting Alabama in the top 10. I'm sorry, but you got your lunch handed to you at home. Does this mean that you won't be in the top 10 the rest of the year? No. But as of right now, I can't put you in the top 10.
Fair.
Another team that I can't put in the top 10 right now, just I haven't been impressed by what they've done so far. They have a little bit of a chance to impress this week as they'll be at Michigan State. I'm not putting Washington in there just yet.
That's what I was going to ask about.
Just yet. I'm not quite just yet. But they're at Michigan State. I know they're going through a lot of crap. But as long as they don't go out there and lose to Michigan State, they can continue to climb, right? My next one, where did I stop off at? Penn State at number 8. Number 7 is the Southern Cal Trojans, USC. Still haven't been that impressed with them. But then again, they haven't really played anybody of, I mean, they're 3-0, they're cruising in all of them, but who the hell have they played, right?
Exactly.
They do get a bit of a test this weekend, sir. 10:30 Eastern, Saturday. No, I'm sorry, it's next weekend. So they're off this week. So, yeah, they won't climb up my pole at all. But next weekend at Arizona State, 10:30 Eastern. So it's an interesting one. Number 6. The Ohio State Buckeyes. Ohio State? Man, they're 2-0, but have you been overly impressed with them?
No, I watched the game in week 1 against Indiana where it was on CBS and it was like 23-3. It was very uninspiring. Now, of course, last week against, you know, a bad football team, they were able to get the offense going a little more, but I'm with you. I wouldn't have them in my top 5 as of right now. So I like where you have them spotted.
The only reason why I have them where they are is because of pedigree. So for an Ohio State fan that might get mad and say, no, we belong in the top. I'm giving you the benefit of the doubt. Because if it wasn't for that, you wouldn't even be in my top 10. Number 5, the Michigan Wolverines. But once again, they're not up as high as other teams and people might get bent out of shape about that. They haven't been tested yet. I've got to see a team get tested. You at least have to have one test, and then I'll say, okay, fair enough. It doesn't have to be an incredible test, but you got to play more than what the hell Michigan has gone up against so far.
And they got Bowling Green next, so that doesn't.
Right, so they might actually slide out of my top five, right? If someone else impresses. Number four, the Notre Dame Fighting Irish.
Woo!
Look, I'm impressed that they went into North Carolina State. That is a very, very tricky place to play. And the fact that they went in there and dominated that second half, that to me was impressive. I don't care what anybody says on that.
Yeah, I mean, at first, you know, it didn't look so good. Our first couple of drives, that defense was stout, not letting us move the ball. Eventually, you know, their offense just didn't have enough, and Sam Hartman does have enough with the running game. So we broke out of there with a nice victory, but it was a tough first half.
I know they're not going to wow anybody this week with Central Michigan, but their schedule does get more difficult.
Ohio State, week and a half away.
Yeah, so that's where the rubber's going to meet the road.
In Notre Dame.
I'm assuming that's a night kickoff. For the love of God, please tell me.
Yes, sir. Yes, it is. Okay.
Please tell me that's not like 11 a.m. junk they throw at us. Like, I can't start slamming beers at 11 a.m. I'll get nothing done on Saturday. All right.
It's the NBC game of the week that week.
Okay, good. I want to say the Braves will be done. I think next week, next Saturday, we're talking about a week from Saturday, right?
Correct.
I'm almost positive that we have a 1 o'clock first pitch, so I'll be well done with that. 9:23. Oh, you know what else that is? That's Florida State Clemson.
Ooh.
Woo!
Man, that's a day. This week's a little lighter.
That game better be a night
college
game.
College slate compared to the week after.
I'm assuming Notre Dame, so they're at home, so that'll be the. That'll be the Peacock NBC game, right?
Yeah, that one's at 6:30, and then your game's at, oh my gosh, it's at noon, Florida State Clemson.
That could get flexed. That could get flexed.
It could. I hope it does.
If it doesn't, there will be no Braves Nationals. I can tell you that right now, because we'll already have the division sewn up.
Right now they have Texas Baylor and the ABC main slot. I hope they swap that with your game.
Either that or maybe I should do it because it's the only way to keep me calm. Okay. let me see here. What do we have
number
next?
Three.
So I finish off with Notre Dame. Number three. I'm on the fence, but I'm going to make a last-minute change. I'm going to put Florida State at number three.
Ooh.
And I'm going to put Texas at number two. And the reason why I'm going to flip-flop that is because Texas went into Alabama and beat Alabama. Now, their win wasn't as impressive as Florida State's was over LSU. But if we're going to be fair, and I'm trying to be fair with these, I'm not trying to make some homer poll. If we're going to be fair, a road win in Tuscaloosa is more impressive than a neutral site game against LSU. And then the number one, I've said this all along, until you beat the man, they're going to be the man. You can't take the two-time defending national champions out of the number one slot unless they look just absolutely awful in a game. And they haven't looked awful. They haven't been that impressive, but honestly, they're just tuning up, man. They're not playing anybody of any, you know, if I was going across the board and being fair with this, I probably wouldn't even have them in the top five because of who they've played. But they're the two-time defending national champion. And they get a little bit of a test this week. Not much of one, but they do get South Carolina this week.
Yeah, and honestly, after looking at your top 10, I mean, of course, I don't have much to argue with. The biggest difference from the AP poll to yours would be they have Notre Dame ninth, you have them fourth, and you do yours off the eye test. We kind of know how they do handle things over there. So I like where your top 10's at. Washington, you mentioned. You came in at number eight in the AP poll. You have them out of the top 10. That's the only team that might have a beef. Bama, to me, doesn't have one. They lost a huge game on their home field. I'm fine with your top 10.
And something else that I do with my poll that I know the other voters don't do, I don't look at the previous poll. Okay? Because I don't want that to affect. I don't want to go, well, where was Ohio State last week? Well, maybe that's where I should put them this week. No, I don't do that. I go off the scores. I may go off the standings, but I don't look at the previous week's top 10, top 25, as most AP most voters do that. It's just, it's human nature.
Right. Like, for example, you know, a team that might move up, it could be five or six slots, but if they only had them ranked at a certain spot, they'll only move a couple. So I kind of like that strategy of not looking at last week's, because every week's a new week until we build up about halfway into the season.
I came close to putting Colorado back in my top 10.
Oh, yeah, I forgot you took them out.
But their first half against Nebraska was not terribly impressive. And they're going to have their opportunities. I don't know if it's a week from Saturday or the one after that, but when they get up against Southern Cal and whatnot, that I figure that's when we're gonna. Because I'm not convinced that Nebraska's worth a damn.
Oh
and,
no.
And I am convinced that TCU is not. So would I put them in the top 15? Absolutely. Like, I see that they're ranked number 18. They'd probably be top 12, top 13, somewhere in that neighborhood for me. I saw a couple of folks were ranting and raving about Ole Miss. I mean, what did Ole Miss do? They struggled against a Tulane team that lost a lot of their talent.
Exactly.
So I'm not jumping up. I'll tell you one team that I left out, but I'm just keeping an eye. They've got to be tested first, but they are on my radar. Oregon State Beavers. They're on my radar.
Okay.
But I've got to see them up against somebody, because though I think they've been fairly impressive, who have they really been tested by?
And you know what? I'll give a slight shout out to Miami for Brian Cook, because I usually give him a lot of crud. But big win to me on Saturday.
So the thing with Miami, I'd probably put them in the top 20. I think 22 is too low.
Agreed.
But beating Texas A&M is not what it's made up. Like, it's, oh, they beat an SEC team. And Texas A&M has been in shambles for the last two or three seasons.
Fair enough.
I'll tell you a team that probably deserves to be in there that I didn't put in there. I just can't quite get there just yet. Duke.
The Dukies? Yeah, the Dukies. Duke.
You can make the argument for North Carolina, though they stumbled. They almost – now, that was my stupid underdog pick, and I almost hit it. And I was right. They were in there smelling themselves. They beat South Carolina. App State came in there. Appalachian State spit the bit. They should have won that game. But they've got opportunities. And, in fact, they dropped three in the AP poll, even though they won the game. They get Minnesota this week, by the way. It's kind of a weird out-of-conference matchup, but interesting one.
Duke is Northwestern.
Is Oklahoma on your radar at all yet?
Not quite yet. I want to see a little bit more from them. Honestly, when I look at the top 25, I actually agree on Duke. And then other than that, after looking at the top 25, I can't really give it to anybody else. Ole Miss, I don't like. Oregon State, I want to see more. You know what? I'll give UCLA some credit so far, too. They just snuck their way into the top 25. 2-0 after losing DTR and others. I wanted to give them a little shout-out.
Duke, to me, they would be top 15 for me. But, like, going in, like, this week they're playing Northwestern, that's not going to get them climbing up the pole.
No.
They're going to have to. I do believe they play Florida State this year. I believe it's in Duke, so that's going to be a big one. And so a game that originally at the beginning of the season nobody had on their radar now I think becomes a much bigger game, especially if Florida State can get past Clemson. Then we might be talking about a couple of teams squaring off. They actually could be just a precursor to two teams meeting in the ACC. But the ACC is more wide open now than a lot of people thought beginning of the year, because Miami looks a little better. Duke looks a lot better. And Clemson, they stumbled out of the gate, but they got it together on Saturday. And let's be fair with that. I thought it was incredibly dumb on the part of the Clemson scheduling to play a game on Monday night and then play Saturday morning 5 days. So 5 days later, you go from a night game on the road Monday night at Duke, and then you turn around, you get 4 days off to prepare, and then Saturday morning you're back at it. That's tough in college football. I can remember a couple times Florida State playing a Monday night game on the Labor Day weekend, and then they would play some nobody Saturday night, not even a day game, and they would still struggle. And this is back in the Bowden era. So I just And if you play that Monday night game, you almost need the next week off. Maybe play next Thursday or something, but don't play 4 days later, 4 or 5 days later. It's a disaster waiting to happen. All right, let's take a quick break, Joey. A little past 4:20, so smoke them if you got them. When we come back, the National Football League. AR-15, or I guess AR-5 now, looked a lot better than a lot of folks thought they would. We'll be back in a flash.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
I apologize for the distractions.
Braves Country on YouTube Live, covering the AFC South and NFC South along with the rest of the NFL. Subscribe and like us today. Your first choice for sports talk, Braves Country on WQEE and youtube.com/@Braves Country.
I hear these fools on TV talking about defund the police and things like that. We need police reform and prison reform and things like that. Because you know who ain't going to defund the cops? Rich neighborhoods. So that notion they keep saying that, I'm like, wait a minute, we just going to leave, who are people supposed to call, Ghostbusters, when we have crime in our neighborhoods?
ACC football covered like no other here on the Armchair Quarterback.
Reggie Gillespie dives into the end zone. The winning points for North Carolina State.
And the teams come together in the end zone, pushing, shoving between the back and the heels as Gillespie has scored the winning points, his fifth rushing TD. But these teams need to be separated. The emotion boils over on the last play of the game as Gillespie goes to the end zone. And it's a sea of Carolina blue and state red.
And Carruthers gets into it, and they've doused him, and now we've got a big brawl out on the field. Marring would have been the 200th victory for Bobby Bodman. Look at this. That's an ugly mess down there. This is ugly. Starting to get it cleared up down there, although there's still some bodies flying around.
ACC football, backyard brawls all year long.
Hey folks, this is Mark White with The Mark White Show, and you can tune in to The Mark White Show every Saturday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. right here on Rock 99 WQEE The Key, the home of Southern sports and talk.
What are you thinking about? Marriage? Family?
Well,
they're prisons. Man-made prisons. You're doing time. You get up in the morning, she's there. You go to sleep at night, she's there. Yeah, and you can forget about watching TV while you're eating. Because it's dinner time. And you know what you do at dinner?
What?
You talk about your day. Was your day today? Did you have a good day today or a bad day today? Well, what kind of day was it? Well, I don't know. How about you? How was your day?
Armchair.
Joe, you went to a Cubs game the other day, didn't you?
Yeah, and they lost 1-0 on the day I went, so...
Didn't you take a young lady with you?
I did, and she's still with me, so...
Hey! Say no. Chicken dinner.
For now.
So she saw you in public at a Cubs game and she didn't run, so that's pretty good.
Yeah,
chalk that up to a W.
Yeah, no, I'm hoping the Irish. I go to Notre Dame this Saturday with my dad and my dad's friend, so... And Tones, Tampa Tones. So, hoping Notre Dame has an easy victory. I told them if we're going to go all the way there, let's make it count. Let's get a W.
Notre Dame. Who are they playing?
They got Central Michigan this week. It
the hell possessed y'all want to go to that?
Of course. Well, Tones. Actually, Tones said he wanted to see Central Michigan play. I
He's
wish I was
scouting
lying.
For a stupid underdog picks.
I wish I was lying. He said he knows some guy who played quarterback. I don't know, but it's a bit of hoopla.
Oh dear God!
I wanted to go to Ohio State, but I got beat out by Central Michigan.
Holy cannoli! Central Michigan.
He said because about Bert Emanuel Jr., who I think his dad played, if I'm not mistaken.
Bert Emanuel played for the Buccaneers.
Yeah, so that's his.
I should have known there was something, man.
There always is.
Bless his heart.
Thank God it's my pick next year.
I should hope so. And probably the, honestly, probably be your pick for the next 3 years after this. All right. Real quick on, Braves baseball, news broke earlier today that the Braves have sent Jesse Chavez on a rehab assignment that'll start tonight. So typically we're going to be talking about, a week or so, and then we'll probably be able to see Jesse Chavez. My guess would be best case scenario would be end of next weekend or possibly the following week.
Is this the best Braves team of all time, you are being asked?
Not unless they win a championship can we even make an argument for that.
There you go.
So yeah, you can't even put that into that's something you ask in November.
Right.
But the only way you ask that for me is regular season you could make the argument. The only thing I will say about this Braves team as opposed to previous Braves teams, our starting rotation is not what teams of the 90s had, right? But those teams of the 90s didn't have the bullpen that the Braves have now. And I know a lot of Braves fans overreact and say, oh, man, there's just no way. There's just no way that you can compare this and blah, 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 blah. The Braves' biggest Achilles heel was always in the 90s that their bullpen wasn't as strong. The Braves bullpen now is ranked number 2 in Major League Baseball. That was never the case in the 90s. But this Braves offense, what we are lacking in the starting pitching department, and don't get me wrong, if everything goes well and you get Max Fried rolling, Spencer Strider rolling, Kyle Wright back to where he was a couple of years ago or last year, this starting rotation can be right up there with them. But you're talking about a starting rotation that had 3 Hall of Famers. That's kind of hard to touch. But the offense, this is the best Braves offense, that's for sure. And I mean, you can go all the way back to whenever. No one's ever had an offense in Atlanta. Very few teams have had an offense that you can compare with this Braves offense. I mean, this is 27 Yankees type of offense. This is unreal what they're doing. When you have guys at the bottom, I'm talking about the bottom of the lineup that are going to hit 20 home runs, that's a little ridiculous.
Absolutely.
It's made it to the point where, honestly, the Braves fan, the average Braves fan, is spoiled as hell right now.
And I mean, just take a look at if you're, you know, the average fan and you want something, or how does that back that up? If you look at the run differential, the Braves are plus 238. The next closest team in the MLB is the Tampa Bay Rays at plus 198, which is 40 runs behind, a full 40 runs behind. So I know that's not the whole tale of the test, but that's a little snapshot of how good the Braves are playing this year.
Yeah, just looking at them long-term, big picture, I think it would be fun to see what this offense can do in an October run, right? But if they go, no one's going to remember any of this crap if they go into October and run out of gas again.
Pull the Dodgers. Just don't be clutch.
Regular season, yeah, it's the best Braves offense ever. But they're going to have to show up in big time. You know, no one really thought that Braves offense was going to take off in 2021. No one in their right mind would have thought Jock Peterson, Jorge Soler, Eddie Rosario, we're all just going to become basically Lou Gehrig 2.0, right? I mean, they were, it's funny, they each took turns just hitting out of their mind. But if you can get this going, it's funny, I saw someone do a quote tweet last night. I guess it was a screenshot they saved from, there's a Twitter account that's fairly popular, but they always have terrible takes called Sports Talk ATL or Sports ATL Talk, something like that.
Okay.
And I guess they made the tweet shortly after the trade talking about that the trade for Matt Olson was going to be one of the worst moves in the it was the contract when they extended him. It was going to be the worst contract in the history of Atlanta sports. And now he's got 50 home runs. He's got 130 RBI.
I remember us talking at the beginning of the season about Ozuna and saying, how is this guy got a dang roster spot? We're saying, and like you said, some guys just find a knack. When you think their time might be over, some people just come through. And look at him, 33 homers, 78 RBI. So there you go.
Yeah, when you look at that and you make that comment and you make that tweet, and a lot of times when they do this, they're doing it for like shock jock value, right?
Yeah, get somebody to, wait a minute, what did I just read?
What I want to know long term is this, when you start talking about that kind of stuff is, What basis was that on? Matt Olson was already a perennial all-star, right? Matt Olson was already a guy that was what? Was he 27, 28 when he signed the deal? And yeah, didn't overpay at all.
No.
They did not overpay at all.
Yep, 27 years old.
So what the hell are we talking about here? Like, why would anyone make that statement that Matt Olson being locked up long term for much longer term, but less money AAV than Freddie Freeman? And Freddie Freeman's having a phenomenal year, don't get me wrong. But would you rather have Matt Olson right now, or would you rather have Freddie Freeman? We're talking about I'm not just talking about the home runs. I'm talking about the fact that Freddie Freeman, dude, Father Time's undefeated.
Yep.
So he's going to start to.
From an outsider's perspective, it's totally Matt Olson. I mean, like you said, Father Time gets to everybody. It was the perfect replacement. You guys couldn't have done it in a better way, landing him, and stats and age back that up. So can't argue it too much, in my opinion.
Absolutely. Those kind of comments are just absurd. Look, I know a lot of us overreacted when they traded Will Contreras for Murphy. And I even mentioned at the time that I was going off at pure emotion because I was just such a big Contreras fan. But I knew logistically it was a smart move. I just hated to – I still feel like Contreras is going to have a phenomenal bat long term. Yeah. But the honest engine is he was always a problem behind the plate, right?
Yep.
I don't think Murphy's going to be this outstanding defensive catcher that everyone made him out to be. From what I've seen this year, he's a very good catcher. But we were being told that he was – I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, Joey. We were being told that he was like next level, that he was up there with JT Realmuto. I have not seen that. I've seen a guy who's good, very good, but they're still running on him. And there's a big difference when you start talking about taking the elite. But with that being said, Murphy was worth the trade.
Absolutely. I mean, I know Wilson Contreras, obviously, from his playing days here pretty well. And offense is nice, but their defense usually lacks. And while we're talking about bad trades, thank you, because they got a new president today. I saw the Mets, or maybe it was yesterday. But thank you to the old regime for getting rid of Pete Crow Armstrong, to us who just got called up for the Cubs when we traded Javier Baez as a rental to the Mets. So talk about a terrible deal there as well. I just wanted to shout out the Mets for continue.
Yeah, I saw the Mets went and they got Stern as their GM, which everyone's been predicting that forever. So right. That makes me a little less happy because he's actually pretty damn good.
He did a good job in Milwaukee.
I don't think he's going to struggle the way some of the other knuckleheads have. And now I'll tell you what else this will mean. I think it means it's the end of an era for Buck Showalter. I think he's gone, and I don't think he gets another chance.
I agree.
I think he's done. He will probably end up. I don't have it in front of me, but I'd be curious to see what Council's contract is, because if he has an opportunity, I think he would try to bring Council into New York. Craig Council.
Yeah, I was trying to look up his current deal right now. He's extended through the end of the 2023 season. Oh, that's it. Oh, he got through the end of 2023.
He's what?
His contract only goes, Craig Council, until 2023. He got it extended in 2020.
This is his last year?
Yep.
Oh, then you can go ahead and book it.
Right? That's wow.
Council's heading to the Mets.
Yep, 53 years old in the final year of his contract.
I don't think there'll be a threat to the Braves and Phillies next year, because I do believe they're going to a full rebuild, which they should. I do think they're going to trade Pete Alonso. I know a lot of Mets fans don't want to hear that, but I do think they're going to trade Pete Alonso, and I think he should at this point, because he is going to command a ridiculous amount of money at the end of his contract, which he's a free agent at the end of next season. And you'd be a damn fool to load up a contract for a first baseman when you're probably 3 years away from really competing. Yeah, I agree with JJ when you're talking about with the Murphy's had a better year this year. I get that, but JT Realmuto is phenomenal. I've been a fan of his back when he was a Marlin, and he to me is still the best catcher in baseball.
I would agree.
I don't think it's even particularly close, to be honest with you. And he can still cut. Did you? Oh my God! I don't know if everyone saw this. I mentioned it during the broadcast last night. Last night, Eddie Rosario struck out. The ball went in the dirt. It rolled behind him. Got away a little bit, honestly. Realmuto jumped up, grabbed the ball. This is in the second game of the doubleheader. And Eddie Rosario's lazy ass didn't even offer to run to first base. He just kind of turned around and just shrugged and went to the base. And you should have seen the look on JT's face. He had a look like, you're not even going to try to run? What are you doing, son? And I know Snicker does not have a freaking backbone, but he ought to bench his ass over that. I mean immediately. But the problem is the Braves media won't jump on that subject. They'll let it wash right over. But this is becoming a problem with Eddie Rosario. He's lazy. Yeah, he gets hot from time to time, but he's a terrible defensive outfielder. And that laziness right there, dude, you never know. You got to go running out. I'm not saying blow out your hamstring running down the line, but at least give an effort. It was a two-run game at the time. If it was 11-1 in the eighth, I get it. Okay, I get it.
Yeah.
But it was a two-run game. He's lazy, man. I'm telling you. No, nobody wants to hear that because everybody remembers the big home runs he hit in 2021. He's lazy, and he's a terrible defensive outfielder. Anyways, back to the National Football League.
Dun, dun, dun.
What'd you think about your boy, AR5?
Yeah. Maybe I'll start rolling with that a little bit more, honestly. But, no, in reality, I thought it was an overall good for performance. Look, Jacksonville is a team this year that's coming in with higher expectations. They should win the division pretty handily. And on top of that, maybe make some playoff noise. And their defensive front they got after it a little bit. The Colts offensive line didn't play that well, but Anthony Richardson found ways to make good plays. He was 24 of 37, and he threw for about 223 yards. So overall, it was a good effort by him, and I'm pretty happy about it.
I watched quite a bit of that game. Oh, by the way, and to that point, Rosario's in the damn lineup tonight. And I don't care if he runs into a home run. I don't. That's not the point. The point is you got to set the tone, and Snicker didn't set the tone. He'll bench Ozuna for not running out a towering shot that looked like it was leaving the damn building. And Ozuna took it with stride. He said, yep, I should have ran it out. I thought it was gone, blah, blah, blah. But he won't. But he won't bench Rosario. And this is the third time Rosario's done this in two months, where he's done something where you're like, that's just lazy. Back to AR5. Sorry,
I did like Trevor Lawrence's comment really quickly too after the game when Lawrence and Richardson met at midfield. Lawrence said, "Hey, I love what you're doing, but you know, let's slide a little bit," because Richardson did get every time he gets hit. He's a big boy. Yes, he does damage to the defense, but he doesn't really know how to slide, which Andrew Luck never really learned how to slide, and we saw how that ended up. So, A-Rich, I love you, and I know our running backs are trash without Jonathan Taylor, but please, please slide and get out of bounds.
Yeah, AR-15, what I saw, what little bit I saw, because, you know, so many games going at once, but what I did see, man, I thought he looked pretty good. I thought it was interesting. He looked better as a NFL quarterback than a college quarterback. That tells you a lot a lot about what's going on in Gainesville. But it's true. It's true. Look, some of it was sloppy play, but that's what you're going to get the first 2 to 3 weeks in the NFL nowadays. Like, I had to start lowering my expectations as a fan. I no longer am running to the television in weeks 1 and 2, and probably going to be that way in week 3. Because you're getting a bad product. So the Jaguars look sloppy, but they got the win on the road. That's really all that matters when it's all said and done. But I thought for the Colts, I thought they looked pretty good. And remember, this team didn't even have Jonathan Taylor.
Exactly. The talent around, you're 100% right, by the way. And I tell everybody, weeks 1 and 2 these days, you could take some of it into consideration, but not really, because nobody does training camp like the old days, and preseason is just hogwash. So weeks 1 and 2 is a lot of feeling out process. That being said, AR5, he answered the bell. Yes, did he have a few passes that were off target? Of course, but he threw the ball 37 times, and he threw for a completion percentage that would rank good amongst the top NFL QBs. So I like where he was at. He could, of course, improve on some things, but like you said, Jonathan Taylor out. We don't have a lot of receiver weapons, tight end weapons around him either. So good for him in his first start. Shane Steichen is a rookie coach. All rookie coaches went 0-5 this week. Not just rookie coaches, coaches that are first time. So 0-5 the new coaches went. So a lot of feeling out process, and a lot of rookies all went 0-3. C.J. Stroud, Bryce Young, that lost their games as well.
All right, are you ready for the Power 5 in the National Football League for week number one heading into week 2? Ready
Let's
for this?
Do it.
So, you know, it's really hard to decipher after just one game, especially because these are basically become preseason games, right? This is like basically what we saw on Sunday is week 3 of the NFL preseason that we used to see. Hey, yes. Look, everybody's playing. Look at there.
Dress rehearsal.
Stupid flags, guys dropping balls. Some of them look like they don't even know, they forgot what sport they were playing. But anyways, even with that, I'm still going to do the Power 5. You got to do it. You got to grind through it. So, number 5 team, I got to put the Miami Dolphins there. Defense looked like a sieve. But Tua and company put the ball up and put it all up often. I will say this. Everyone is jumping way out in front and saying, hey, look at this team. Look at Tua. He could win the MVP. Said the same damn thing last year. Yeah. By week 4, he had scrambled eggs above the neck. Okay, number 4. You ready for number 4? The Detroit Lions.
The Dan Campbell.
You go in and beat the defending champ. I don't care that they had guys missing. You beat the defending champ on the road. Thursday night game. It's impressive. You had to put them there. Number three, they didn't look great, but I did side with the fact of what they did last year. Give me the Philadelphia Eagles. They about choked it away, right? They about choked. I mean, if you watch that game,
they got outgamed by New England.
They're about to Brady the Eagles on Tom Brady Day. Did you see the end of that game? They had a chance.
Oh yeah, and the Eagles got outgamed a ton by New England.
Right, but the Eagles, all in all, I still got to put them there just because of the talent they have. I do think they're going to have a bit of a letdown this year at the beginning of the season, which they almost got, and they'll be much stronger at the end. But number two, they got a quarterback. Give me San Francisco 49ers. San Francisco 49ers, they were churning up the Steelers for breakfast.
Yeah, that was surprising to me a little bit, how bad it was.
And the number one team in the National Football League that I saw in week one that impressed me the most.
Give it to me.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah!
Dude. Now, granted, the Giants look like that they had, you know, seen a ghost. I've seen so many funny videos related to that game. I don't think the Giants are that bad nor the Cowboys that good, but in week one, you got to give it to the Cowboys. 40-0 on the road. Sunday night football.
You like that?
What a terrible play. Look, a couple of goofy things happened to that led to this. The field goal kicking, just all of a sudden, Gano couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. I think they actually called it an interception, but it was really a fumble by Barkley. The ball that he caught and then bobbled.
And then it squirted out of him.
Yeah. Technically, it is an interception, but come on. That was Saquon Barkley. And really, when they got the block kick and then you compound it with that, that was it, man. That was it. The game was over.
Well, and why did the heck, when they pulled out Barkley, they left in Daniel Jones? I don't know what, you know, I'm not as high on the Giants this year before it. I don't think yesterday was an example of what the full season will be like, or 2 days ago, sorry. But just an abysmal mess. And then on the other side, like you mentioned with Dallas, I really like that they added guys like Stephon Gilmore, Brandon Cooks, got some veterans in there. We'll see how far it takes them. But how about them Cowboys? Sorry to the Giants.
I won't do it this week because it's week one. We'll probably start this around week three or four, so remind me. But we will start giving the probably do three the most disappointing teams from the previous week, right? Week one, it's a little hard, but let me ask you something, Joey. If I gave you two, just give me two. What two teams? And we'll go ahead and throw the Giants out of there because my God, that was just a dumpster fire. Give me two teams that you're like, dude, what happened?
Well, I'm going to start off first things first with the Cincinnati Bengals and say, hey, you know, I get it. Joe Burrow missed summer camp and things happen, but Deshaun Watson was getting booed in the second quarter in a 6-3 game, and the Bengals just couldn't do anything right. I know the weather was off, but to get 3 points, come on. They got to do better.
They stumbled out of the gates last year, remember?
Yeah.
And then, look, and to your point of the injury with Watson, I get that part. I mean, Burrow, I get that part of it. But, man, it is so critical for Cincinnati to have a good record because they don't want to have to go to Kansas City for the AFC Championship game. Yep. That needs to be in your house. Give me one more team.
Then you're like, I'll give you one more because the city of Chicago is in flames already. Bears fans, not only was it a week one loss on their home turf, it was to the Green Bay Packers.
Dude, our predictions look like trash.
They did not throw the ball in the first half past like 5 yards downfield. It was one of the worst offenses. I had so many people at the game. Chase Claypool should be cut. He's an embarrassment to the NFL the way he does plays. The Bears offensive line, Matt Eberflus as head coach, was quoted saying, like, maybe we'll redo preseason next year and do things different. Hey, buddy, you ain't making it to next preseason. Let me talk to you.
If I was going to take two that you didn't mention, and I'm not going to mention the Giants. Good night, Irene. Teams that really just disappointed me that I was like, what am I watching here? Number one, I'm not even going to take the low-hanging fruit. Give me, you know, if you look at what the preseason projections were for most of these teams, the hell the Buffalo Bills doing losing to an Aaron Rodgers-less Jets team? What was it, 3 or 4 interceptions Josh Allen had? The hell was that?
Oh.
I thought they were going to have DeMar Hamlin fake another injury and just shut the game down because they're playing like a disaster. Oh! Too early. Too soon.
Yowzies.
The other team, if I was going to grab one more, I don't know. Probably going to go out west to Seattle. I don't know what the hell they were doing, but they weren't playing football.
That was the most boring game of the weekend. They get that award.
What is your walk-off, sir? We're running out of time.
My walk-off is my lock. I'm being a homer here for Braves country, but anytime the Braves are under minus 150, I'm doing it. Free night. Let's go, Braves. Chop on.
Buyer beware, man. Wheeler has owned the Braves. I'm going to take the under in that game. It's 8.5. I think it's way too high. Way too high. Give me the under in that game. Freed versus Wheeler. That's got 1-0. Marcell Ozuna ripping one out for the dub.
Absolutely.
That dude, even when he misses home runs, he still just tears the cover off the ball. All right, brother, we'll see you. What are you, Thursday? We'll see you Thursday.
Yes, sir. See you
we'll
Thursday.
See y'all 6:40 first pitch. Braves Phillies. We'll be back in just a bit. Y'all have a great day, Braves country, and hopefully a better night. Let's get it.
Goodbye, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go. We're back tomorrow with another show.
Well, unless we're fired, we'll talk to you then. Goodbye, sweetheart. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Guys and gals, it's time to go. We'll see you on the next show.
Same back time, same back channel.
Thanks for listening to Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks on 99.1 FM WQEE The Key in Noonan, Georgia, and simulcasting on youtube.com/@Braves Country. Braves Country comes your way weekdays 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern. Please follow, like, and subscribe today. Armchair Quarterback Radio, your first choice for Southern sports.
September, something of the 5th of September. She said a lot that I can't remember. Something of the 5th. Can I get another cigarette, please? Can I get another cigarette, please? Yeah, I know I live to regret it. Just give me another cigarette, please. Can I get another cigarette, please? Can I...
You're listening to WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Noonan, Georgia.